Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
And welcome to Outdoor Guys Radio, radio for the sportsman's lifestyle. I'm your host, Ken Taylor. I'm broadcasting from our Kansas City base camp, and I get the absolute privilege of bringing the great outdoors to your radio dial every week due to an awesome group of sponsors. G3 Boats, powered by Yamaha Motors, Bushnell Factory Outlet, Lake of the Ozarks, Pheasants Forever, Quail Forever, Conservation Federation of Missouri, and the OnX Hunt Map. We sure appreciate all those folks do to keep us on air each week, and I encourage you to support them as well. Folks, it's hard to believe it, but we are at the end of September. Whole month of hunting season already behind us. Lots of cool things going on in the great outdoors. And by the way, I can tell you from firsthand experience this week that the bass are definitely hitting. We'll spend some time in the first half of the show this week and get you up to speed on all those things going on. Talk to you a little bit about the Bass Hall of Fame or Bass Fishing Hall of Fame, the new inductions that happened this week. We'll also talk about hunting on public lands, and hopefully we'll save a little bit of time to talk to you about how to pick a guide. All that's coming up in the first half of the show. Hey, coming up in the second half of the show this week, we're going to talk with our old friend Hank Shaw. He is, of course, hunter, angler, gardener, cook. Hank's currently on a book tour for his new cookbook, Pheasant, Quail, Cottontail. If you haven't followed all of his series before, it's Buck, Buck, Moose, Duck, Duck, Goose, and as I said, the brand new one, Pheasant, Quail, Cottontail. And I don't say this about cookbooks very often, but this one's kind of a must-read, especially if you're into small game hunting like I am. Hank really does a great job of breaking things down from harvest all the way through to the tables. And that includes topics like how to clean small game properly and also how to store the meat so that it's as flavorful as possible when it hits your table. So if you haven't heard us talk with Hank before, you definitely want to hang out and listen to that. And by the way, check out his website, honest-food.net. He's got a list of all the different places he's going to be. This week, he's out on the West Coast up in Oregon, and over the next month and a half, he's going to be all over the Midwest. He's going to be in places like Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin, and even in my home state of Kansas. Make sure you stick around for a conversation with Hank. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. Hey, folks, I also want to remind you that since 1935, Conservation Federation of Missouri has been working to ensure the conservation of Missouri's wildlife and natural resources. They also work to preserve our state's rich outdoor heritage through things like advocacy, education, and partnerships. So if you're a hunter, fisherman, trapper, camper, paddler, or just general outdoor enthusiast, then CFM is working hard on your behalf to protect the resources and rights that afford you the opportunity to pursue those passions. Isn't it time you join Missouri's largest and most active conservation organization? You can join today, confedmo.org. Folks, we are up against our first break. We got a lot more coming your way. Make sure you stick around for more Outdoor Guys Radio.
Hey guys and gals, Scott Turnage here, the old G3 Sportsman. You know, we're awfully proud to have G3 Boats as the official boat sponsor for the Outdoor Guys Radio Show. From time to time, Ken will be talking with some of our G3 Sportsman field staff for the best fishing tips and where they're biting across the country. Be sure and check out our new lineup of G3 Boats at your local dealer or visit us at g3boats.com and come join the G3 Life.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the copy machine hat, the sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
You've seen him on national television. You've heard him on national radio. Kevin Tock, president and CEO of thesportsbrokers.com, is releasing his underdog game of the month. The wrong team is favored. It's yours absolutely free. Call now, 800-220-6262. The line in this game is off by 10 to 14 points. Start your football season on a winning note. There's no one better against the spread than Kevin Tock. Become part of Kevin Tock's inner circle and you'll have access to his upset specials. Dogs winning outright. Favorites running away to win by 3 to 4 touchdowns. Let him earn your business. Let thesportsbrokers.com show you how to win consistently. Call now and get today's underdog winner outright. 800-220-6262. Absolutely free. Kevin Todd is the nation's number one sports handicapper. He's the professional the professionals turn to. It's yours absolutely free at 800-220-6262. That's 800-220-6262. Kevin Todd turns outcomes into incomes. Call now. 800-220-6262.
And welcome back to Outdoor Guys Radio, radio for the sportsman's lifestyle. This segment's being brought to you by our friends at the Lake of the Ozarks, and you can visit them at funlake.com. Plan that next great adventure. You know, for bass fishing fans, this is a really big week. The induction ceremonies for the 2019 class for the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame took place this week. Of course, it happened down at the Johnny Morris Wonders of Wildlife Natural Museum and Aquarium down in Springfield, Missouri. And really, the class this year, pretty unbelievable, some of the names that went into the Hall of Fame. I guess I thought a lot of these probably were already in it. And by the way, I've been down there to the Hall of Fame and seen it, and I was just kind of surprised a couple of these weren't in there already. So here's the list of inductees for this year. Kevin Van Dam, so KVD, of course, Kalamazoo, Michigan, four-time Bassmaster Classic winner. He's been Angler of the Year I don't know how many times. And speaking of Angler of the Year, Gary Klein, also on the list this year. He is from Mingus, Texas, and of course, he was a Bassmaster Angler of the Year. Then you've got some others that are names that you definitely know as well. Tommy Sanders of Little Rock, Arkansas. He's, of course, the ESPN and Bassmaster television host. He's always working alongside of Mark Zona, so if you're familiar with Mark Zona's work on ESPN, you've also got BASS CEO or former BASS CEO Helen Severs. She's on the list this year. And then Berkeley Bedell of Naples, Florida. He's, of course, from Berkeley and Companies. So if you've used any of the Berkeley line of fishing products, that's who that's named after. And the final person on the list is Dr. James Henshaw. He's an author from back in the 1800s, and he's actually considered to be one of the forefathers of modern bass fishing. And so congratulations to all the 2019 nominees. Folks, we want to switch gears here just a little bit and talk a little bit of hunting. You know, over the last several months, we've been talking a lot about the R3 efforts. And if you don't remember what that is, it's basically the recruitment, retention, and re-engagement of hunters across the country. You know, we've talked about the impact of the changing or shifting demographic as we see the baby boomers, which were the last really active group of hunters, as they start to age out. There really just aren't the numbers there to replace them. So we've talked about that quite a bit. I think one of the key reasons that we see that, it has a lot to do with access. And when I talk about access, what I'm really talking about is the ability for folks to have a place to go hunt. And so Outdoor Life actually had a really interesting series of articles that they've dealt with this. You can go to their website, outdoorlife.com, and check this out. But it was really interesting because I think it's almost like a tale of two countries. And so as we start to talk about access, what we're really talking about is the difference between public land and private land and the ability for people who maybe are just wanting to get involved in hunting for the first time to have those areas that they can go access. And so there was a lot of work done by Outdoor Life, as I said, and it's pretty interesting stuff. First of all, when you look at the country as a whole, about 64% of hunters are private land only, About 13% are public land only, and about 21% are roughly speaking are private and public land, some combination of the two. But it really is a tale of two countries. When you look at the West, and what we're talking about are those 11 states that are on the western side. So think of my state, Kansas. You know, go west of there, go to Colorado, and all the way out to the California border. Pretty much all of those states, the 11 western states, 29% of their hunters are private land only, and 71% of their hunters hunt on public land. It's just so much more accessible out there. When you look at the eastern portion of the United States, basically from the Rocky Mountains to the east, you're really looking at 77% private land only and only 33% public land use. So it's almost an exact opposite when you look at those two. The article went on to lay out a lot of different opportunities that people have, maybe for public land hunting that you haven't thought of before. You know, we've talked about public land hunting here on Outdoor Guys Radio quite a bit because I grew up doing a lot of public land hunting, and I still hunt public land a portion of the time. Now, I'm fortunate. I get to hunt mostly private land now, but that's, you know, that hasn't always been the case. My first turkeys were on public land. I've shot a lot of pheasant and quail on public land. I've shot a lot of rabbits on public land. It's really the opportunities that were available to me. So Outdoor Life went through and listed out several different ways that folks might have some access to land, especially public land, that they didn't necessarily know that they had. So the first thing that they talk about is hunting in public wildlife refuges. And we actually reported about this a few weeks ago. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is actually going to be opening up 380,000 acres across 40 of the national wildlife refuges. And they're going to open these up to new hunting opportunities. So there's some land that's available. Also, National Park Service lands, some of those are available too. And the article goes on to say, it's true you can't hunt most of the national parks, but restricted hunting is allowed in 70 of the 417 units managed by the National Park Service. So they actually have a website that you can go to and find out a lot more about that. We'll try to link that up on our Facebook page and to our Twitter page so you can see that as well. Outdoor Life goes on also to list out some other things that I was really interested in. They talked about sleeper spots. In other words, underrated areas that maybe you hadn't thought of that you could hunt before. Here's one. Indian reservations. Many Indian reservations across the country, they operate, they have their own systems in place for wildlife and parks, and you can go on and actually buy tags and licenses and things there and hunt some land that you may not have known about. Another one, Department of Defense lands. There are some military properties that allow hunting. Now, there's some different restrictions on that, but I know across the country there are different areas that do that. I know in my home state of Kansas, Fort Riley is one that offers up several different opportunities each year for hunters to come on and access Department of Defense lands. Many states also offer opportunities through walk-in access. This is kind of that public-private relationship that I've really enjoyed seeing grow and expand across the country. And so usually the way this happens is that the government doesn't actually own land. It is private land, but the government pays a small leasing fee in order to allow hunters to access it without needing permission. And in most states, it's very easy to actually access. And you can there are maps available. There are atlases that list out all of the different areas. And they tend to also not just list the areas that are open, but list the game species that you're likely to find there, and give you more details probably than you would ever think. The three top states that are currently doing this are, number one, Pennsylvania. They have 2.6 million acres that are currently in their walk-in access. Arizona's a close second at 2.2 million acres. And once again, my home state of Kansas, they're in third place there with 1 million acres. And really, when it comes to public land in Kansas, I know this from personal experience, the walk-in areas are by far the best hunting available. So it just offers great opportunities for us. And so if you haven't taken advantage of that, you know, figure out if your state offers it. Find one of the atlases and go out and check out some of the land. It's pretty amazing what's available to you. And once again, it's private land. It just happens to be available for use for the general public. It's a great way for states to add acres to that ability for hunters to get out. This really comes back to the R3 thing. In order to recruit new hunters, in order to retain some of the hunters that we currently have or reactivate some who had been involved in the past, you have to have opportunities for them. There have to be places for them to go and have access to good quality land. So anyway, I love seeing states do that. I think that is a nice way to kind of have that crossover between public and private. Hey, the last thing they list on Outdoor Life's article really kind of made me smile just a little bit were some of the oddball public land hunts that are available. It was things like invasive species. You know, you've got nutria in Louisiana. There are Burmese python hunts in Florida. There are a lot of those around the country as well. So definitely worth looking into and maybe just broadening your horizons a little bit when it comes to what game you're going to pursue. The article from Outdoor Life is a good one. We'll make sure we've got it hooked up on both our Facebook page and our Twitter page so you can read all about it yourself and see what conclusions you come to. By the way, don't ever hesitate to shoot me an email, ken@outdoorguysradio.com. Let me know your opinion on anything we talk about here on the show. And by the way, one more piece of outdoor news that I want to cover with you this week. Grizzly bears. Grizzly bears in Idaho and Wyoming. Both states were looking at allowing hunters to harvest somewhere around 23 grizzly bears this year as the grizzly bear was removed from the Endangered Species Act, first time since 1975. U.S. District Judge Dana Christensen reversed that decision and actually put them back under the protection of the Endangered Species Act. So it's a really interesting debate here as to who has final authority over this. So I'm not going to get into this, as I said this week. We just don't have time to cover it in depth the way it probably needs to be covered. But just to suffice, it was interesting to read. Wyoming's Governor Matt Mead, he actually was really upset about this. And he said grizzly bear recovery should be viewed as a conservation success story. If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I tend to fall in line with the biologist. I tend to worry when politicians get involved and stop the biologists from really making sound decisions on hunting and fishing based on current numbers and current biology. Seems like every time we get the politicians involved, other things start to come into play there. So we will keep you up to speed on that. We'll talk about that a little bit more coming up in a future show. By the way, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service did say that they're going to be reviewing the ruling, but they're standing behind their initial decision to lift the protections on the grizzlies. Folks, we are up against a break. You definitely want to stick with us, though. As I promised, coming up next, we're going to talk to our old buddy, Hank Shaw. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Outdoor Guys Radio.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them, but do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings. Savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Essential Care Network. Call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-508-5774. 800-508-5774. 800-508-5774. Call now. That's 800-508-5774.
And welcome back to Outdoor Guys Radio, radio for the sportsman's lifestyle. This segment's being brought to you by our friends at Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever. And now is a perfect time to either join or renew that membership. Speaking of Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever, they were the ones that introduced me to my next guest, and he's become one of my absolute favorites, Mr. Hank Shaw. He's, of course, hunter, angler, gardener, cook, and he's got his website, honest-food.net. Hank, how are you, my friends? Good to talk with you.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, you bet. And for listeners who haven't heard Hank before, Hank's also a prolific writer. He's got some great books out, and I've got every one of them and have used every one of them. You started with Duck Duck Goose, then went to Buck Buck Moose, and the newest one, Pheasant Quail Cottontail. And Hank, I got to tell you, this one may be my favorite, and I've been thinking about this a little bit since I knew I was going to talk with you. And I think the reason is it takes me back to childhood. You know, my dad, we didn't hunt deer and ducks when I was a kid. We were Kansas upland hunters, right? We went pheasant, we went quail, rabbit, and squirrel. And that's how I really got started in this. But I think you've really got a story, because your story is interesting to me because you came at this late. And since everyone's kind of, you know, we talk so much about the R3 initiatives, I'm really curious, because you're a perfect example of how that works.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, this is the book that is closest to my heart. I mean, I love deer hunting. I love duck hunting. I love it all, but, you know, if I had to throw it all away and just keep one thing, I would absolutely keep my shotgun in my hand, a good pair of boots, and an orange vest, and walk around and look for birds and rabbits and that sort of stuff, because I never get tired of it.
Yeah.
Never, ever.
You know, you
and
throw the dogs in there,
it's
too.
That's why I started hunting them in the first place.
Yeah, you throw the dogs in on top of that, too, and that's really what makes it for me.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, you know, and
yeah, you're right.
You've been out on tour, and you've just been all over the country. It's been kind of fun to watch you. I get your weekly updates in email, and I also check out your website pretty regularly. And you've been really all over the country. You had to have some great adventures over these last few months.
Well, there's been all kinds of stuff that's going on. I mean, a lot of it is work. You know, you've got to, you know, it's if you listen to all those old rock and roll songs about being on the road and on the road again, all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of a little bit like that, except, you know, I don't get, like, you know, 1,000 people showing up to it, right? But, you know, so, like, right now I'm just rolling into Portland, Oregon right now, getting ready for an event tomorrow, and then roll on to another town and another town and another town. But, you know, I do get a chance to do a little bit of hunting and fishing here and there. So that's what keeps me sane.
You know, I actually saw, I've seen you speak many times. We have first met all the way back in 2011, right before you were coming to the 2012 Pheasant Fest. So I got to see you speak there. I've seen you at a few different events. And, you know, I know you and I, we were at the same event a while back and went out to dinner afterwards. And you had a few groupies around. So I believe the rock and roll lifestyle. There were some groupies there for Hank Shaw.
I don't know. I don't know if they'd like being called groupies.
Well, they did. All right. They may have been a little different demographic than your normal groupie, but still, they were people who were there just to see Hank. So, you know, you do a great job when you're speaking in public. And I think that's something folks need to go check out, because you take a completely different tack than most presenters might, in that it's just very much of an open, honest dialogue. And you take a ton of questions from the audience. I don't know if you do that in every event, but I've seen it at the several that I've been to.
I try. I mean, that's really what I'm all about. That's why I write all these books and write the website and interact on social media, is because, you know, I am fortunate enough to be able to do this all over the country and all over Canada. And you know, I've pretty much hunted almost everything that you can hunt in North America. And I've eaten most of it and I've cooked most of it. And it's been one of those things where, if I have a little knowledge to spread and to share, then I'm going to do it. And then the other piece of that is, one of the reasons why I take so many questions is because a lot of times I'll learn something from somebody in the audience. Yeah. So, you know, put that together and we all become smarter.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really cool. And you do learn from just listening to really good questions. That's absolutely true. You've also, though, you talk about the hunting side of it and you've gotten to hunt almost everything, but you've done a lot of fishing as well. Did I hear recently, maybe even a little commercial fishing? You went out on a boat for a little bit.
You are correct. So the backstory was, I got really, really bad pneumonia at the beginning of this year. And, you know, it was borderline life-threatening. And I was in the hospital, and it was bad news.
Right.
So right around that time, a good friend of mine who runs a salmon gillnetter boat up in Juneau, Alaska, says, "Hey, man, I'm gonna need some help on deck this year. Do you want to do it?" And, you know, I'm in the middle of the hospital. I'm like, "Ah, I don't think I can do this." And so I said, "I can't answer just yet." And then I got out of the hospital and started to get back in the gym and, you know, started to get strong again. And I just realized that this is one of those things I was going to regret if I didn't say yes. And I had done some commercial fishing 20 some odd years ago when I was a younger man. And I wanted to see, A, if I could do it again, and B, I had to do it. And it was extremely difficult work, long hours, and very physical. But, you know, I'll put it this way. I'm going to go back again next season.
You know, what's it like to be out on one of those boats? Because all of us have seen the different TV shows, but obviously there's a dramatic side to that. I'm curious, just from a day-to-day standpoint, what's that like?
The basic day-to-day standpoint of working on a gillnetter boat is, you know, from the very earliest light to the very last light, you are setting a net, pulling a net, pulling fish out of the net, getting, you know, avoiding like singing jellyfish would get in the net. And it's just, there's a lot of repetition involved, and there's a lot of, you know, things that have to be done in a very particular way. I mean, one thing that if you live on land and you don't live on a boat, it's hard to understand how important doing absolutely every move that you do in exactly the correct way, because if you don't, you can get hurt or worse. And so it's a pretty steep learning curve, and you've got to have your eyes and your wits about you. But once you get it down, it becomes second nature, and it's kind of a refreshing thing for someone like me who I typically do a lot of creative stuff and, you know, my next path is not necessarily chosen. But when you're on a fishing boat, you know, this is what you do. You put your head down and you work.
Right.
And there's something good about that.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I was going to ask you, I was going to go a completely different direction. I was going to compare it to hunting and say that, you know, one of the things I really enjoy is that sort of solitude and that ability just to sit and think and be alone with my thoughts, no cell phone, nothing like that. But, you know, it's interesting the way you describe that maybe there's a little bit more of that. You've got to stay pretty engaged with what you're doing rather than be alone with your thoughts.
Yeah, you have to be hyper engaged, because if you're not, you know, your fingers will get stuck in the webbing. You can be dragged overboard. You can get seriously injured in 100 different ways if you are not actively aware of everything that you're doing. But what that does is it's a different kind of solitude, in the sense that you are so focused on your activity in front of you, much like hunting, that nothing else matters. What matters is getting the fish out of the net, getting that fish bled, getting that fish cleaned up, putting that fish in the hold, you know, setting the net, retrieving the net over and over and over again. I used to work the line as a chef, and it's very, very similar. You know, you'll get a call, you know, 15 orders of, you know, steak, you know, medium rare, medium rare, medium, medium rare. And then, so you remember all that, you do all that, and you do it and repeat it and do it and repeat it and do it and repeat it. And then a job well done at the end of it is that everyone was happy and nobody got hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very interesting. And, you know, Hank, I'm going to turn back around here. And what I had originally, you know, started the line of questioning I went on was the book tour and all the fun things that you've got going on. And we've got just about 2 minutes left in this segment. I'm hoping you'll be kind enough to stick with us in the next one. But in this segment, I wanted to also highlight some of the places that you're going to be, because I know we've got listeners in a lot of these different areas, and I want to make sure that they know you're coming and can get out to it. You're in Lincoln, Nebraska next week, October 4th, and then Des Moines, Iowa. And
yep.
I think I also saw Cedar Rapids on there as well next weekend. So for the folks in the Midwest, you're going to be doing a complete tour of the Midwest. You're going to hit, you know, I saw several Wisconsin dates. I saw Michigan, Indiana. There's just a lot of places throughout the Midwest that you're going to be over the next month or so.
Oh, yeah. I'm basically parking myself in Big Ten country.
There you go. Yeah. That's
probably a... so here's a, I don't know that we have enough time to like list all of the details of the recipes, but or the appearances, but if you go to my website, which you can get to at huntgathercook.com, or you just Google my name, there's a tab that says Where's Hank on the web, on the front page of the website. And if you just click that, you'll find, I think I have 20 events in the listenership area over the next month. So that's, you'll find one that's close to you that way.
Folks, of course, you can Google Hank's name, Hank Shaw, or you can always just go to Outdoor Guys Radio, too. Go to our website if you happen to be driving, don't have it written down. We've got it all hooked up there as well, so you can just click right on the homepage there. There's a picture of Hank. Click on him. It'll take you right there as well. Yeah, you've got a lot of really cool stuff that's coming up, and I like I said, I really enjoy all the different things you do, and one of the things folks need to go through and read is that at each event, you seem to do something a little bit different. At some of them, you're doing kind of more standing on the stage and answering questions and things like that. Others, there's more tastings and things like that that go with it. So you kind of span the gamut when it comes to different events. And I don't know, maybe it just keeps your life really interesting, but that's got to be a little bit of a harder work on your part just to know what you're supposed to be doing each night.
You know, you're right. There's a little bit of that. I mean, the best part about it, though, is like, could you imagine if I were doing the same thing over and over again? I would just drive my own self crazy.
Right.
So
yeah.
I like to mix it up a bit. And I also like to make sure that people have a good time. And sometimes that's a dinner. Sometimes it's just a, you know, come on to a brewery, let's drink some beer and talk about game. Sometimes it's a full-on seminar, and sometimes it's, you know, every now and again I'll even do a fancy dinner.
Do you get any time, though, to hunt in the middle? That's one of the questions that I really did want to ask you. You're on these tours, and you've got them timed where you're right in the heart of hunting season.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but it's when people are thinking about this book. So I will get a little bit of chance. You know, I'm going to be hunting pheasants for both the Minnesota Governor's Opener, that's on the 12th and 13th of October, and then also for the Kansas
Opener. I saw
opener.
That, yeah.
That one is the
16th.
That's November 15th and 16th.
Yep. Yeah, I saw that. I was pretty excited about that. I'm going to try to put that one on my calendar and see if I can't make it out and see you again. That'll be a lot of fun. Hey, Hank, you know what? I'm up against a break here. Any chance you'd stick with me? Second segment, I'd love to talk with you a little bit more about the book itself.
You bet. I'll be here.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more Outdoor Guys Radio.
Come on, let's ride.
Hey, guys and gals, Scott Turnage here, the old G3 Sportsman. You know, we're awfully proud to have G3 Boats as the official boat sponsor for the Outdoor Guys Radio Show. From time to time, Ken will be talking with some of our G3 Sportsman field staff for the best fishing tips and where they're biting across the country. Be sure and check out our new lineup of G3 boats at your local dealer or visit us at g3boats.com and come join the G3 Life.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down, 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. That's 800-296-1252.
It's time for the Yellow Tag sales event at your local BRP dealer, where you can save big on new Can-Am off-road vehicles. Can-Am vehicles were made to perform and make the most out of any challenge. And right now, quality costs less, because you can save up to $2,000 on select Can-Am vehicles. Just stop by your local BRP dealer right now before the Yellow Tag sales event is gone. Offer ends September 30th, 2018. Certain conditions may apply. See dealer for details.
And welcome back to Outdoor Guys Radio, radio for the sportsman's lifestyle. This segment's being brought to you by our friends at the Lake of the Ozarks, and you can visit them at funlake.com. Plan that next great adventure. Of course, we're talking with my good friend Hank Shaw. He's hunter, angler, gardener, cook. His website is honest-food.net, and he's got so many cool cookbooks out. Started with Duck Duck Goose, went to Buck Buck Moose, and the newest one, my favorite one, Pheasant, Quail, Cottontail. And Hank, I said this segment, we're going to talk a lot more about this book. And I wanted to start with some questions about the way that you laid the book out, because I've really been fascinated by the way that you've handled small game. And what I mean by that is, rather than handling it game by game, you went light meat, dark meat, which I think is a fascinating way. And, you know, I've had this book in my hands now for about 6 months. So it's been really nice to be able to go through it now and spend a little bit more time with it than the last time I talked with you. And that's what I think is the coolest part of it, is that you broke it down in a way that's maybe a little different than any cookbook I've seen before.
It really is. And it's the what drove me to do that was, so many times I would make a really nice recipe for, you know, say pheasant, and somebody would ask me through social media or whatever and say, could I use a rabbit with that? Or could I use partridges or quail or something like that? And, you know, if you think it through, and like, the answer is, yeah, you could.
Yeah.
And then, you know, somebody would say, I've got squirrels and, or jackrabbits or a snipe or doves. You know, what can I use those for? And those all sort of fall into the dark meat category, and they're going to have a different flavor. Then, you know, so like a dove is not going to taste the same as a quail, even though they're very similar in size.
Right.
So if you separate all of the different, I mean, there's tons and tons of species in this book too. That's the other thing. Like, you know, I do have chapters for individual animals, and that just, they just happen to be the recipe that I would normally do with that particular animal. But it is, you'll see on the right hand side of all the recipes, these series of icons, and each icon will indicate that, hey, you know, even though this is a sage-grouse recipe, there's 10 other animals that would make this, that would work really well with this recipe too, so in case you don't have any sage-grouse.
Yeah, and so perfect. So really one of the things that works for just about everyone, it doesn't matter what type of small game you have, the recipes, as long as you fall within the, you know, basic parameters of lighter meat or darker meat, there's going to be something that's going to fit for it.
You know, and even the best part is that if you don't hunt, you know, I mean, most people listening to this are hunters, but if you don't hunt, you know, you can buy rabbit, you can buy squab, and you can buy quail, and you can buy turkey, and you can buy, you know, you can buy pheasant, or, you know, just use chicken.
Right, and that's a great point, too, because that is becoming more and more popular, that you can buy some of our different game meats, and you can find them at a lot of different, not even just specialty butchers anymore. There are a lot of different, you know, regular grocery store butcher shops that are carrying things like that these days.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I see quail in regular supermarkets in the freezer section pretty much all over the country.
Yeah, I have too. I've noticed that exact same thing, that people are maybe getting a little bit more adventuresome with some of the things that they're cooking. I kind of credit Food Network a little bit for that. You know what I mean? It just, the more people are educated on different culinary decisions, you just see them start to branch out a little bit more.
I think you're right. I mean, I think there's a food TV in general has been a big, big motivator for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting little side note to all this, I guess. Hank, let's back up just a little bit, though. You also devote quite a bit of time in the book to talking about how you should handle wild game. And I wondered if maybe you could concentrate in on that just a little bit. And what I mean by handling is maybe the field dressing and then also the storage of wild game.
Sure. So I think the short version is, it's like with anything, right? Get it culled as fast as you can. You don't want any game or fish, for that matter, to be warm at all. And so everything is just sort of a series of cooling it off, cooling it off, cooling it off. And then there's a decision on whether you're going to pluck your birds or skin your birds. And, you know, there are times to do both. I don't pluck every single one of my birds, but I pluck a lot of them. And I want to impart a really important tip for everybody listening to here who does hunt upland game birds, so pheasants or quail or that sort of thing. If you're going to pluck your bird, so if you've shot some birds well, which is to say you didn't murder them, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got a nice one, you know, maybe just wing shot it, or you did shoot it in the head or something like that, and you want to pluck it. Get that bird as cool as you can, as fast as you can. So don't let it heat up in your bed. Don't let it heat up in the truck. Don't let it heat up when you get home. And get it in the refrigerator to cool it off, and then keep it there for 2 to 3 days, whole and in the feathers. It sounds weird, but it's going to be fine. Now, you can't do it with turkeys, but everything's smaller than that. And the reason you do that is because if you wait 48 hours to 72 hours after that bird was shot, it will pluck a million times easier than if you tried to pluck it that night or the morning after, which is what almost everybody does.
That's a great piece of advice. Do you wrap it at all, or you just leave it in the feathers?
I'll leave it in the feathers until it's cold, and then I'll just stick it in a plastic bag.
Okay, so you do plastic bag it. That was my, I guess, my long-winded question there. So that's great advice when it comes to it. How about other small games, as far as rabbit, hares, things like that? I'm assuming you do a little bit more of dirt. You skin them a little bit more quickly.
Yes. Yeah, all of those animals, they can be hung and they can be stored, but I personally have never really found a huge benefit from that. I typically find that with rabbits and hares and squirrels, you know, I'll just process them when I get home.
And I'm curious, out of all of those, you know, I know that you've said that if you had to give everything else up, the one thing that you would probably go after would be upland game, right? So
yep.
You've told me that plenty of times before, but out of the others, which is your favorite to cook?
It's a hard one. I mean, because, you know, there's something wonderful about a lot of these. You know, like I just finished band-tailed pigeon season, and, you know, it's our only native huntable pigeon in North America. And so, like, right now I've got pigeons on the brain, you know, but in a couple of weeks it'll be mountain quail, and then, you know, pheasant season will come, and grouse will be around. And so there's something amazing about each one of them, and that's why this book is so fun, is that there's so many different places to hunt and animals to hunt and flavors in the kitchen from when you bring that stuff home, that it's just like Christmas every time. I mean, I don't get bored with really any of them.
I'm glad you brought up the pigeon, because that was something I really enjoyed on your website last week. You had something on there called In Defense of Pigeon, I think was the name of it. And it was, mm-hmm. You really did break down, because you're right. A lot of us do associate pigeons more with New York City, you know, and something that maybe is a little bit more, I don't know, not necessarily something we would think of as something we would want to eat, but you really, it's a squab. So it was an interesting take on that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for, you know, a lot of people listening to this, you know, you've got access to what we call Barneys, you know.
Right.
Good rural pigeons that live in farms and stuff, and all they eat is grain. So there's nothing wrong with them. They're just, you know, there's usually no season or no limit, and they're wonderful eating. They're just like giant doves, really.
Yeah, and that's a great thing. I would have never thought of that, honestly, and that's one of the things I enjoy about a lot of the things that you've shown us over the years. You know, the same thing with some of the things that you do with some of your gathering work, you know, that you go out and you do a lot of harvesting of native grains and of acorns to make flour, and just a lot of the different things that you've talked about with us over the years. It's not as though it almost seems too simple. Like I missed it somewhere along the way. Why didn't I think of that type things?
You know, and I learn from a lot of people too. So it's not like I do think about a lot of this. In fact, I was actually picking wild things just a couple hours ago, and when I crossed over the Cascade Mountains to get to Portland, and like, oh look, there's mountain ash, and oh look, there's fireweed, and oh look, there's elderberries. So I just kind of pulled over on the side of the road. I think a lot of it is just knowing your plants and having a good eye, and knowing that, oh, there's this plant, and I happen to come across it, it's ready to pick, and this is what you can do with it. And if you have that, it's like, boom, there you go. And it's kind of like a little Christmas present.
Yeah, and I'm curious, where did you pick up a lot of that knowledge?
So my mom is the one who really got me started back as a kid. But I, you know, every place I've moved, and I've lived in the Midwest, I've lived in the South, I've lived in the Northeast, and now I live in the West. Every place I move, I learn the plants of wherever I live. And so there's a lot of foraging books out there. You know, I run a forum on Facebook called Hunt, Gather, Cook.
Right.
And that forum is kind of a clearinghouse. Like every day somebody would be like, hey, what is this plant? I think it's edible, but I'm not sure. And then, you know, all of us are like, yeah, it is, or no, it's not, or we're not sure, we need another picture. And it's a really good way for people to get that knowledge quickly and cleanly.
You know, and here in the Midwest, I run into people every year who their favorite time of year is morel mushrooms. Well, really, if they can kind of learn, you know, and I agree with that as well. But if really we learn a lot of the plants and things around us, there are a lot more opportunities like that than very few of us take advantage of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really good skill for a hunter to have if you think about it, because I can't tell you how many days that I've, you know, didn't see any game, but I came home with like two buckets of berries or something like that. And so you know, knowing your plants and your mushrooms will really save a bad day of hunting.
Yeah. And plus, you're putting a lot of good things to use, right? I mean, just things that may normally go to waste, you're putting them to use. And that sort of brings me into the last segment of your book, because I do want to hit that as well, because we didn't talk about this last time. Segment four, you get into giblets and charcuterie, which is something that, you know, everybody loves a good sausage, right?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. I mean, I think with this book, I mean, I do, every single one of my books has a section on, you know, the wobbly bits, and every single book has a section on cured meat of some sort. So sausages or pâtés or rillettes or salami or something like that. And, you know, this one is no different. I mean, I think the one difference with this book is that I believe, you know, in the general public, eating giblets from birds, so gizzards and hearts and livers of a bird, is way more normalized
right.
than that of a lot of other animals. So I think people listening to this are like, well, yeah, I like chicken livers, or yeah, I mean, I eat fried gizzards at the bar while I'm drinking red beer or something like that. So there's more of a cultural connection to eating of giblets than there would be to, say, like, you know, elk liver or something like that.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. But I also think it's something that many of us just grew up doing that, right? My wife, just the thought of gizzards really just sort of disgusts her, but it's one of my favorite things. And so every now and then we'll have to go out just so I can get a little bit of a gizzard fix.
There you go. Well, you know, just keep them from your birds, right? Pheasant gizzards are good. Turkey gizzards are good. Duck gizzards are great.
See, and that's why I'm glad I'm talking with you, and I'm glad folks get to hear all of this, because those are things that I just waste, and that's that makes me sort of sad to think back on it now, is that I do waste a lot of very, you know, useful things.
Here's a real quick liver tip, right? So when you're hunting birds and you pull the guts out and you look at the liver, if you're a white guy,
right.
this is a good tip. If the liver is the color of a white person's arm, so in other words, kind of beige and tan, and not deep, dark, and red, that liver is full of fat, and it's going to be absolutely delicious. So it usually happens in ducks, but I see it sometimes in upland birds as well, where, you know, you pull that liver, and you know what a liver is supposed to look like. It's like this sort of dark red wine color, right?
Right.
But a lot of livers will hold fat, and as they do that, they get tanner and tanner and tanner. And so when you see those are treasures. Those are like wild foie gras.
All right. So now I've got a brand new thing I've got to do every time I clean a duck or a pheasant this year. All right. I'll do that. I will pay close attention.
That takes 2 seconds to look at it.
No, you're exactly right. And once again, I was the one saying that I waste a lot of these things. I will pay close attention to that this year. And next time I see you, I'll give you an update on how many of those fatty livers that I ran into.
Awesome.
Once again, folks, we're talking with Hank Shaw. He's got a great cookbook out right now, and he is out on tour. The cookbook's name is Pheasant, Quail, Cottontail. He's going to be all throughout the Midwest making a huge run here. Hank, would you give out your website and information one more time so if folks want more details or want to find where you're going to be next or want to get a hold of one of these books, they could get it?
You bet. So the easiest way to find the website is to go to huntgathercook.com, and it's called Hunter, Angler, Gardener, Cook. I'm also Hunt Gather Cook on Instagram and I'm on Facebook as well. The book tour information is on Facebook and is also on my website in the tab that says Where's Hank? And short version, I'm going to be all over the Big Ten. So if you're listening to this, I'm going to be near you in the month of October.
Hank, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule and joining us. I'm really looking forward to seeing you again here in the near future.
Likewise. Look, I hope to see you out either in Iowa or in Kansas.
Sounds great. Hey, folks, we are up against a break, but we will be right back with more Outdoor Guys Radio.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1 week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
And welcome back to Outdoor Guys Radio, radio for the sportsman's lifestyle. I want to remind you our guests each week are brought to you in part by our friends at the Bushnell Factory Outlet. They offer huge savings on all the Bushnell family of products, and you can stop by and let those expert sales associates help you with any of your purchases. Folks, we've got some great shows lined up for you. I hope you continue to stick with us every week here on Outdoor Guys Radio. Month of October is just jam-packed for us. We're going to be talking with Colin Kearns, Editor-in-Chief of Field & Stream this month. We've got Mike Iaconelli scheduled for this month. He's got a brand new TV show coming out, and so I can't wait to talk to him a little bit more about that. We'll also talk with our friends from Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever, get some forecasts there. We're going to be talking to you about how to get your boat ready for the off-season or how to prepare your boat for winter, how to store it, things like that. We got all sorts of tips, techniques, cool things coming up in the show. I hope you stick with us. We're going to be talking a lot of waterfowl also coming up in the month of October. And then, of course, we're going to be talking to guides across the country, including in our G3 field staff segment. So we'll talk a lot of fishing there as well. And you know me, I can't get too far without talking a lot of bass fishing. So we'll cover all those things for you coming up in the month of October. Folks, we like to leave you with something funny in the great outdoors, or something fun, interesting, and unique. And this week, there was a great video that was going around the internet. I posted it to both our Facebook page and to our Twitter page. You can check it out. Basically, it's a group of guys, and they're out paddling. They're kayaking out just off the coast of New Zealand. And as they're out there paddling, there's this little sea lion that's coming up kind of playing around. Next thing you know, this thing goes down, and it grabs a hold of an octopus, and it brings it up. And as it brings it up, it smacks one of the paddlers with it. Really funny video. Got that posted to our Facebook page. Hope you can check that out. Hey, by the way, while you're there, give us a like on Facebook or a follow on Twitter. And by the way, always love hearing from listeners. You can always shoot me an email, ken@outdoorguysradio.com. And when you do, please let us know if there's a guest or a species or a particular topic you'd like us to cover. Folks, that about wraps it up for us this week. I do want to say thank you to my guest, Hank Shaw. Really enjoy that guy. And check out his website. Click on the Where's Hank tab. It'll tell you where all of those cool upcoming events are happening with him. You really do want to go check one of those out. It's a lot of fun. He'll also sign a book for you while you're there. Of course, I also want to say thank you to our sponsors, G3 Boats, powered by Yamaha Motors, Bushnell Factory Outlet, Lake of the Ozarks, Pheasants Forever, Quail Forever, Conservation Federation of Missouri, and Onyx Hunt Maps. And finally, folks, I want to say thank you to you, our listener. We couldn't do the show each week without you. Thank you so much for taking time out of a busy schedule and joining us here on Outdoor Guys Radio. I want to encourage you to get out and enjoy some of God's great creation, and I'll talk with you next time here on Outdoor Guys Radio, radio for the sportsman's lifestyle.